Coach, you're on with Jim Miller, Pat Kerwin, Moving the Chains. Thanks for joining us, Coach. How's the offseason gone for you so far?
Going okay, Jim. Pat, how you guys doing?
We're doing great, Bill. Thank you very much for joining us. The draft is over, and you're getting a chance to take a peek at some of these guys. We'll get to them in a minute. Jimmy and I really wanted to start with some of the things that you were going after at the owners' meetings and replay, and I'm in favor of it. And as I said to you then, I'll say it again. It got tabled, but the whole idea of replay, Bill, and being able to replay and challenge everything. Your thoughts on that? Is it still alive and well in your heart?
Well, our proposal just basically, you know, would give the coach an opportunity to challenge any play, and there are a lot of plays in the current system that aren't challengeable, and frankly, the rules are pretty complicated as to what you can and can't challenge. Seems like every time there's kind of a controversial play on the field, the head linesman or the line judge comes over to you and, you know, it's kind of trying to coach you along as to what you can and can't challenge. And that's a complicated rule for the fans, the coaches, and, you know, everybody else. And there are a lot of penalties that, you know, even though they're judgment calls, be pass interference, holding, offsides, you know, whatever it happens to be, that wouldn't give the coach any more challenges. It would just right. give him an opportunity to challenge a play that he felt was ruled incorrectly. And in the grand scheme of things, I think what we all want is to get the play right and for the best team to win and for the game not to be decided by a, you know, a missed call. So to not have the opportunity to correct that type of play just doesn't seem like it's the right way to do it. But, you know, we had a situation this year where we added another exception to the replay rule because of, you know, a play that came up during the season. And it seems like that's kind of the way it goes, that you something happens and then we add something else to challenge or make another play challengeable that wasn't in the past. And I think we're just going to keep adding to that. And I'd like to just clean it up and, you know, let a coach have two challenges, and if he gets them right, he gets the third, and that's it. Let's do it on whatever play you want.
Well, Coach, it's a great point because you almost need a separate playbook to understand what you can and cannot challenge. But do you think it's something that maybe could be revisited in the future, Coach?
I don't know. I think that we probably would bring it up again, maybe with, you know, change our presentation or, you know, try to assemble a little bit more support for it. But, you know, in the end, it's whatever the membership wants to do and whatever the rules are, then, you know, that's what we play by. I mean, I've coached without replay, with replay, and with a lot of modifications of the replay. So whatever it is, we can deal with it.
Okay, Bill, let's get to that draft. The Staten Island kid, first on your board, Dom Easley. How long did you have in your heart and mind that if he's there, we're going to take him? Because I think he surprised a lot of us, mainly for the medical end of it. But when did you start saying to yourself, Easley's my kind of guy. If he's there, we're taking him?
Well, I think when you're picking 29th, you kind of don't know who's going to be there until you get into those, you know, low to mid-20s. So, you know, we tried to stick to the value on our board. And, you know, Dominique, I think, you know, when we've seen him play and he's been a, you know, a productive player for Florida since his freshman year, that, you know, he can be a very disruptive player, an impact player. And, you know, his grades on our board reflected that. You know, we're confident that he'll be able to return from the injury like almost everybody who's had an ACL has. So I don't think it's, you know, the type of injury that, you know, isn't pretty common in our league. And he's working hard to rehab, and, you know, hopefully he'll be okay. But I think when he is, that, you know, we feel like we've got good value for that pick.
Well, Coach, you know where I'm going. It's right to the quarterbacks. One, to get an update where Ryan Mallett is in his career, because certainly you reach out and you draft Jimmy Garoppolo, a talented quarterback from Eastern Illinois that put up all kinds of crazy numbers. And, you know, I just wondered if you guys did field any calls from the New England Patriots side of things of any interest in Ryan Mallett during the draft.
Well, Well, it's not really something that we're that interested in. Ryan's done a good job for us. Fortunately for our team, maybe unfortunately for Ryan, you know, he hasn't really had any playing time in the last 3 years, but he's improved tremendously as a quarterback and as a football player. And we have a lot of confidence in him. But at the same time, you know, he's in the last year of a contract, and you know, we have to. Jimmy was the kind of player that we had, you know, with a high grade on, and you know, at that position, I just don't think you can, you know, afford to pass up a player that, you know, you think has that kind of value. So, you know, we feel like we have a good quarterback situation. I think there's a lot of teams in the league that maybe don't feel good about that position, and that's not a good position to not feel good about. You know, we feel very good about the, you know, the players that we have at that spot.
Yeah, and Bill, a quick question on that, because the quarterback thing, I just said this to Jimmy earlier, the way the world is with these rookie contracts, you feel like in a blink of an eye, you don't have the guy anymore. And I think we're going to see more of that. You know, God willing, Tom stays healthy, and the next guy could go a couple years without ever getting on the field. You just got to keep putting a young one in place for the inevitable day that you're going to need one to be ready to roll. So I don't think this is a process that just stops. I think a lot of guys are looking at this like, I got to take one every 2 years just to make sure one's here when I need them.
Well, we've certainly seen teams not take that approach. And, you know, I'd say in some cases the results have been pretty disastrous. So I don't think that's a position that you can ever have too much depth at. Certainly too much is a lot better than not enough. So,
yeah.
Again, we'll put those players out there, let them compete and see how it goes. But, you know, I think all three of them are quality players at that position. We'll see how it all plays out.
Well, Coach, before you get into your next player, and I'm talking about Brian Stork, who you, the center you drafted from Florida State, just thoughts on Dante Scarnecchia. I think he had over 40 years of coaching experience. He retires, and maybe just talk about that loss, because he's an outstanding individual and one outstanding football coach.
Well, Dante is, you know, is a great coach. He had a great career, and he was personally a big asset to me when I got to New England. Of course, he and I coached together in 96 when I was here on Coach Parcells' staff. But, you know, Dante's done a lot for the Patriots organization and again, for me personally, and he'll be missed. But we've hired Gooch to replace him, and I feel like we have a good staff offensively. Those guys have worked well in the offseason. We're all excited to, you know, get on the field on Tuesday and start the OTA process. So, I have a lot of confidence and enjoy the guys that we're working with, but there's no question Dante had a huge impact on our football team, the organization, and on my career personally. I know that a lot of the success that we had, we would have never achieved without his contributions.
There's no doubt. I'm a big fan of his, known him a long time, and I wish him well. Hey, you got out of the third round, and you hit it big in the fourth round. Jimmy and I know a couple of these guys. He mentioned Brian Stark. I'll tell you, James White, I'm a big fan of his. Why don't you just touch on those three kids you took in the fourth round?
Well, you know, Stark is, you know, Brian's a kid that, you know, played, had a good career at Florida State, played both center and guard. You know, we just felt like that on film and, you know, personally, he's smart. He's a hardworking guy. You know, he's our type of guy, that, you know, really loves to compete. He's tough. I think he's been productive in the running game, been productive in the passing game, been obviously in a great program, played against good competition. So, you know, I think he's a, you know, a solid player that'll, you know, really be competitive for us. And, you know, White was, you know, very productive player at Wisconsin. Averaged 6 yards a carry, which is really hard to do in any league, especially in the Big Ten. Versatile player that can run inside, run outside, can catch. He's very smart. I think he'll help us in pass protection and in pass routes. So it's just another guy for the quarterback to throw to, as well as, you know, a guy who can create some space boost plays in the running game.
Well, Coach, I'll follow up with what you did, excuse me, what you did in free agency, adding the two big corners. Brandon Browner comes over from the Seattle Seahawks, and the acquisition of Darrell Revis, tough, strong, both physical players versus the run and the pass. Maybe just talk about their contributions, expectations, as you land two great players like that in free agency.
Oh, well, I think they both had, good careers and, different ways. Of course, Browner being in Canada, heading to Seattle, and Revis being in New York and then in Tampa. I think their styles of play are similar, but a little bit different. We'll put them in our system, which we have. They both come in and work hard here in the offseason. Looking forward to, seeing them on the field and, letting them compete with some of the other players we have at that position, guys like Kyle Arrington and Logan Ryan. We'll see how that goes.
Well, Coach, I think we're having problems with your cell phone, so we're going to let you go, Bill.
Yeah.
We appreciate your time, and hopefully we'll talk to you down the road.
All right, sounds good, Jim. Thanks. Always good to talk to you guys.
Take care, Bill. Thanks a lot. Enjoy your evening.
Bill Belichick, everybody.